לדוד, שפטני השם, כי אני בתומי הלכתי ובהשם בטחתי, לא אמעד. And we have a big, big problem with this particular mizmor, because it sounds a little bit arrogant. When you say, judge me, God, for I walked in, to me does not merely mean innocence, but it means without any evil intention. It was not a case of where I was being conniving or deceitful, let me put it that way. Okay, so the word, to me halachti, uva Hashem batachti, and I trusted in God, because I'm only human, so I trusted that God would fulfill my intentions, even if I am an imperfect human being to do so. And as a result, lo emad, I won't trip. I won't falter. In other words, if I do things with the best intention, trusting that God will help me, I won't trip. And why am I asking God to judge me? Judge me compared to whom? Who am I going into judgment with? What is the issue? Is there a lawsuit here? And, you know, only God knows what my heart is. Nobody else can judge me, so I'm demanding to be judged by God, if you like. But who's he going into judgment with? David had enough of them in his life, right? Being accused of treason, being accused of malfeasance, being accused, of course, sometimes rightly, sometimes wrongly, of immorality. What is he saying? Was he always doing what he did with the best of intentions, really? Are you willing to put yourself into that kind of a statement of that sort? Particularly since Rashi notices that in another place, and more than one place, David went and said, "Al tavo b'mishpat, I don't want to come into judgment. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Make up your mind. Which is it?" So Rashi therefore says as follows, when you are judging Rishoyim, compare me to them. To, you know, compare to them, I'm pretty good. Ani b'tumi halachti, b'Hashem batachti, mishkefelach. I stand pretty good. But when you judge me compared to tzaddikim, al tivieni b'mishpat, which is written in the 143rd. Don't bring me into judgment. I don't stand a chance. It's all the question of relative to whom. Except that when we stand in front of God for judgment, how do we stand? Rather humbly. And if you look carefully at all of our liturgy, it talks about standing, recognizing my flaws,
yes,
and being rather fearful about this judgment. So how would you say, judge me? Because I need it to me, halachti, v'ashem batachti, lo emad. Lo emad means past tense, and I didn't trip, I didn't falter, or I won't falter. Which is it? Doesn't sound right appropriate, does it? Mitzudat David, since he doesn't know who he's going to judgment with, wants to fill in the missing piece. And Ibn Ezra does the same thing. In other words, I'm standing in judgment against those that are persecuting me. And that's when I can say, Ani b'tumi halachti, v'Hashem batachti, lo emad. Then I can stand and say, I'm looking pretty good. Look who it is that's calling me to judgment. The Gemara, however, takes a very different perspective of it. Here's what Chachamim tell us. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Le'olam lo yavi et adam be'atzmo lidei nisayon. A person should never put himself into a test. Sheharei David, Melech Yisrael, levi atzmo lidei nisayon ve'nechshal. Because David HaMelech dared God to test him, and he failed. Amar lefanav, and he said to him, and that's the next line, Bachaneini Hashem v'naseini. Test me, God. Try me. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for. When you think that you're that clean, when you're willing to be that sure of yourself that you say, I'd rather be tested. You can test me, God. Try me. And he failed. And that's why, on a daily basis, we say, Lo livienu, lo lidei nisayon, ולא לידי ויזיון. We should not be put to a test. And that's why Chazal also warned us, אל תאמין בעצמך עד יום מותך, don't believe in yourself until the day of your death. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't believe in your capacity, in your potential. But don't be so sure of yourself till the day of your death. You don't know your weaknesses. And we beg not to be tested, because we may actually fail. We may fail it miserably. So Chazal then tell us that this was not a good thing, if you like, to say this. The Gemara then continues and says, you know, when they daven, they always say, remember that he's the one that composed most of our prayers, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Why don't they say Elokei David? And God says, because they were tested and passed the test. Ah, so he said, Bachaneni Hashem unseni. Okay, test me and try me too. Ah, but God says they didn't know a test was coming. They didn't ask for the test, and they passed it. Va'elokim nisa et Avraham. God tested Avraham and told him, Kachna et bincha et yichidcha asher ahavta. And he passed the test. And Yitzchak, on that altar, passed the test. And Yaakov, who was the tatale who did everything just right, had to leave home, wander, be tricked again and again, and then later on with Yosef. Oh, goodness, and passed the test. And the last thing he wanted to was to be tested. They didn't want to be tested. You want to be tested? Let's see. And of course, the rest of it is the story of Batsheva. And so on that basis, the Sforno says here, all this was when he went out on the rooftop. He wasn't looking for trouble. Trouble came looking for him, because he had said, Bachaneni Hashem, test me. Be careful of being so certain about the rightness of your position. We have very limited perspective, not only about how our acts are going to play out, regardless of our intentions, but we also have very little understanding of what other people's acts and what their intentions really are. And yet we are very quick to jump to
conclusion,
judgment, and self-righteousness. But we look at Tehillim at things that we're supposed to identify with. Do I say it as a request, or am I supposed to say it somewhat differently? Is this supposed to be then an object lesson, not a request? Bechaneni Hashem uneseni, sarfa kiliotai vilibi. A tzoref is a smithy. A silversmith, a goldsmith. The smithy wants to purify the metal. What does he do to it?
Burns.
He burns it until all of the dross is burned out, and what you're left with is pure gold. We're all going to go through tests, and we're all going to go through trials and tribulations. And if that's the case, since I have no choice but to go through them, I'm begging God that those trials and tribulations serve as the crucible in which the hard things, the inappropriate things, are burned out. Mm-hmm. Burned out of what? Kilyotai literally means my kidneys. Vilibi, my heart. Now, we're not talking biology here. Kilayot are supposed to be the place of your conscience. If you like, your intuition, your visceral sense of right and wrong. Why the kidneys? A, they're hidden. B, frankly, because there is a physiological reaction that hits us in the gut when something isn't right. We can't make a rational, logical explanation about why something feels that it's not right. More importantly, when we're consumed with a sense that something is really awry, not good, we lose control, particularly if we're terrified of our kishkas. We sometimes actually either urinate or defecate without any control over it. Do you understand? In such horrible moments. If nothing else, it's like you suddenly get this like cramp. Now the kidney actually is a filter, and therefore in the language of the Tanakh and in Hebrew, when you want to say that you're racked with guilt, you say yesh li musar klayot. Musar is used sometimes to mean morality, but the word actually comes from the word yisurim, pain. I've got pain in my gut. It's like I have this sense of unease, this discomfort, like you ate something bad. Notice how we even speak that way in English, about you have this sense in your gut that it's something is wrong. That sense of unease comes from cognitive dissonance, when what you believe in and what you've done are at odds with each other. When your sense of yourself and what you see reflected in the mirror are not coherent, and you have that sense of shame. Libi, the heart, in the biblical Hebrew, is not the seat of emotion. It's more what we call mind. And it is not only the seat of thought, sechel, it is both together. It is thought as well as feeling, and therefore the proper term to be used is mind. And it's called lev, because one of the things that happens is that you feel this in your innards. The heart of something, the heart of palm, is the inner core of it. It's the inner core of who I am, is my heart. It is not where to go to the cardiologist for. Even though you sometimes have a cardiological response, your heart races, it aches, you actually have an ache sometimes, right? So you're feeling it inside you. But the word libi can also refer to my inner thoughts, which are not distinct from my inner feelings. It's what I really want. And therefore, the proper correspondent in English is mind. Those tests, those trials that we go through, whether we want to or not, do what? They either break us or they purify us. They burn us. We become different in the process. And so, in a sense, we say this because I recognize that I'm going to go through experiences that will prove my mettle and determine who I am. And perhaps instead of saying, I'm asking God to judge me, I'm saying, you judge me. I don't want to be judged by my fellow man. I'd rather be judged by God, because he knows not only what I've done, but he also knows what my intentions are. He knows my circumstances. And I'd rather be tested, not by human beings, but by the Ribbono Shel Olam, knowing that when he puts me through these tests, he who loves me does not intend to break me. He intends to make me rise up above it, become pure, better. And if that's the case, then maybe it is a good prayer. I'd rather be tested by you, because the tests that you will put me through are not intended to make me fail. They're intended to make me better. Ki chazdecha leneged einai. And that's why I'm saying it. For what I see in front of my eye, what I am noticing, is not you as judge, but you as my Creator that loves me. And I see the gifts you gave me, and I recognize all of the good you've done for me. And as a result, because I keep that in mind, because I know that it's not my strength but what you've given me, talachti be'amitecha, I continue to walk. And the hithalech, notice not halachti, hithalachti. Hitalachti is the way you take a walk. It's the way you move around. It's the way you maneuver through life. Be'amitecha, in your truth. Says Fono, because of all the loving kindness that you've showed me, because of what I've chosen to put in front of my eyes and what I chose to see, I have served you truthfully. Be'ahava, not for fear of punishment, not for expectation of reward, but because I return your love. That's the emes, amitecha. I walked in your truth. In other words, I'm reflecting what you've given me. I've been receiving gifts that I don't necessarily deserve. I have the health, the wealth, the children that others don't, and I have a great deal to be grateful for. And I don't deserve it any more than somebody else did. So I recognize that this was a gift, and therefore I will correspond, serve you, maneuver my life, not with whether somebody deserves it, whether somebody doesn't, but imitating your MS, following in your path. And that was more or less the position also of the Malbim. But Malbim adds, I've relied on your chesed, knowing that I cannot rely completely on myself. I'm not good enough. But hitalachti, but I moved around in your truth, he says, I've acted on the axiom. We walk around, but the earth is not going to cave in underneath us, right? It might, but we function based on certain axiomatic truths. I function on the emes of the greatness of God, of his awesome power, as well as his love, and not because I'm afraid of you. Not because I'm afraid of a punishment. Consequently, lo yashavti imiteishav. Mitim is mortals. Miteishav is mortals of vanity or of emptiness, meaning people who bloody well waste their lives. I have chosen not to live, not to dwell with people who simply breathe air, consume food for no purpose. Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch says, I led my life loving God and not concerned about what others are doing or what will please them. Not trying to win popularity contests. Yeah. May I point out that he could have killed on more than one occasion his enemy Shaul and chose not to do so. I chose to do it even when I was goaded on by my troops. He chose a higher path, not necessarily the popular one. He chose to go against the currents. Fono says that Miteshav are people who are idle, who have no goal, who just go through life. Rabbi Shimshon Raphael is people who don't recognize how serious life is, how little our time is, how much there is to do. And they chase instead false idols, money, covered, pleasures, take your pick. Ve'im na'alamim lo'avo. Now that's a difficult word. Ne'elam means hidden, secretive, beyond our comprehension. Sono says that the word comes from olam, worldly. And therefore he says, and with worldly people I will not come, meaning those that are only looking to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. Hedonists. Rashi and Mitzudot says, those who hide what they're doing in secret. Because what makes him different is not that he's not failed, but that he doesn't cover it up. He's not a hypocrite. So Ne'elamim are people who look pretty good on the outside, but inside it's rotten. He stays away from hypocrites, those that hide their intentions. And Ibn Ezra says that it comes from the word alem, which means a lad or a teenager. And that means people who are frivolous, who love a good joke and like to mock anything that's serious, mockers. And that's the way he treats the word ne'elamim. Didn't go with them. Try to avoid that. Saneti kehal mereim. I hated the collective of evildoers. You see, when you do things with a whole gang, it's so easy because you spread the guilt. It's also, hey, everybody's doing it. It can't be bad. So he did not go with the current. He didn't go with the flow, says Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. Ve'im resha'im lo eshev. Did you notice, by the way, how many times he says, I didn't sit,
yeah.
I didn't go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yes, not to sit as a king. You sometimes have to sit at the table with all kinds of people to negotiate, but he refused to negotiate with certain people and refused to have any kind of alliance, even if it would have served his purposes. Erchatz b'nikayon kapai. This is future tense. I will wash in cleanliness my hands. Mm-hmm. Hence why we wash our hands, not only before eating, but before davening. But the concept is, I didn't try to whitewash what I did, and I didn't try to buy favors from God by throwing, if you like, a couple of sacrifices and korbanos and tefillos while I haven't cleaned up my hands. Mm-hmm. Again, hypocrisy. Rashi says, "En gezel b'mitzvot." That's the very famous sugiya in the Gemara about the lulav hagazul. Can you make a bracha on your lulav that you stole? Mm. But we know that there's people who have all kinds of swindles in their business and then make large contributions to the shul. So washing your hands before you're davening is purely symbolic. If you haven't really made sure that your hands are clean, and they don't mean soap and water. We means you earned your dollar honestly. You didn't hurt other people. That's when you can show God your hands. Oy vavoy if you don't show your hands. Erchatz b'nikayon kapai. First I cleaned up my hands. And only then, va'asovevat mizbechecha, Hashem, I made circuits around your altar. When was this done? On Sukkot. That's why I brought up the issue of a lulav hagazul. I didn't go and steal a lulav and then go around and shuckle it. Is the first part is Yamim Noraim. It's Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Now comes V'samachta Bechagecha. I am approaching Sukkot. When everybody came to Har HaBayit and brought the lulav and etrog, and I made the hakofas around the Mizbeach, I won't do that until I first clean up my act. Make sure that I paid my debts. Don't take something that doesn't belong to me. Don't bring gifts to God from money that was swindled or earned dishonestly. God does not want that. Therefore, esovevat mizbechecha lashmia. A strange word. It's like lehashmia. Where I will have a chance to make heard. Kol b'kol todah. Make heard my voice in gratitude. Ulesaper kol nifleotecha. And to tell of all of your wonders. Meaning sing hallel. So we don't say hallel on Rosh Hashanah.
No.
We don't say hallel on Yom Kippur. Only when I've cleaned up. But I can't approach Yom Kippur if I haven't first taken care of Ben Adam Lechavero. Now I've done all of this. Now I can come and daven.
So
and now comes the very famous line that we all know. Hashem ahavti me'om beitecha. Right? Don't you say it every morning? Matovu o'alecha Yaakov mishkenotecha Yisrael. Hashem ahavti me'om beitecha. Oh, I love the house where you dwell. U'mekom mishkan kevodecha. And the place where your glory, where your essence rests. This I love. I love to come here. I love to come aliyat haregel. I like to be with this crowd, not with another crowd. These are the people I want to be with. Hashem ahavti, I always loved. Past tense again. I've always loved. It's a continuous. I love and I've always loved. Me'om beitecha u'mekom mishkan kevodecha. Al te'esof im chata'im nafshi. All comes now a very important issue of Jewish theology. Asof nafshi is to gather my soul. Says Radak, death of a righteous person, of a good person, you don't have to be perfect because none of us is the return of the soul to its source. It goes back to where it comes from. And he adds, Shelo kemitat ha-resha'im. unlike the death of Rishoyim, ki nafsham, and I'm quoting, ki nafsham kamaim hanigrim le'adama asher lo ye'aseifu. Their souls are like water that drips on the soil and gets sucked down, never to be returned. So the opposite of heaven, if you like, is not hell. It's nothingness. It's nothing. You've killed your soul. Don't take my soul together with the chataim, with the sinners. That's what he's asking. Take me back to you. Ve'imanshei damim chayai. And don't take my life together with anshei damim. Bloody people means people who have their hands full. But the word damim in the language of Chazal also means money. Why would you use damim for money? Blood money. Blood money. Dirty money. Money that was earned by hurting other people, by swindling other people. Asher b'yideihem zima. Their hands are filled with zima. V'yiminam mala shochad. On the one hand, they have one hand filled with zima. To some, zima means lust. To others, zima means conspiracy, zomemim, edim zomemim. Conspiracy, ill intent. Do you understand? Not only lust. Not only, if you like, perversity. And the opposite. And the other hand, the yiminam, and the right hand, is filled with shochad, with bribery. Precisely because he was in a man of power. He sees anshei damim as people who have become wealthy. And have you looked at how many people leave government? Filthy rich. I want to know how. On what, on their salaries? Anshei damim. Asher yemina, right, as one hand, that would be the left hand, is filled with zima, conspiracy, all kinds of schemes, all kinds of shmedre, right? And yemina male shochad. And that he can say. Ve'ani, but as for me, bitumi elech. I will continue to walk in innocence in the only way I know how. But recognizing that I'm not perfect, recognizing that even my best intentions and my attempt to keep my nose clean doesn't always work. He begs God, Pedeni, redeem me. Redeem me from what? From the inevitable punishment that comes from sin. Take it off of me. Vechaneni, and that's the grace that you ask for, comes from matnat chinam, and give me the love that I don't deserve. So there went the arrogance. I did the best I could. Ragli amda b'mishor. My foot is either standing or stood on a mishor, a plane. Not too high, not too low, straight. Radak says, so that I don't need to climb and that I won't trip and fall. Make it a little bit easier for me. And as a result, what will I do if you give me that? B'makelim evarech Hashem. In the makela is a choir, but kahal is in the collectives, amongst the people. I will bless Hashem. So he does not want to be b'kahal mereim. He chooses who his company is. And the only thing I can then do is I can bless you, and I can do that publicly.